Why? Because God wants to fulfill the promise. So for me, when you read the scripture, you realize, I realize that, hey, God's not a God who's trying to make the promise difficult. You ever experienced this, that somebody makes a promise, but in reality, what they're trying to do is just to push you to do something. And it's a promise, but they make it very difficult. You ever experienced that? I promise you, pag ganito, 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 they just want you to do something. Pero in reality, kung pwede na hindi nila gawin, hindi nila gagawin. But here in the scripture, you'll find out that God is making a promise and He shows you the way it happens. Why? Because God wants to fulfill it. Okay? Now, another thing about the promise is the promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. I'm sure in your own life, you have people that when they make a promise to you, it's a done deal. But for others who make a promise, alam mo, they're just trying to avoid you trying to get what they owe you. Alam mo, pag may utang, sisingilin mo, promise, bukas na. Alam mo, what they're just trying to do is they're just trying to relieve the tension now and not show up tomorrow. So the promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. Or the character and the motive and ability of the promise maker either can encourage you it's going to happen or discourage you from ever thinking about it. Now, I'll give you an example. Siguro, a good example. What if you walk out of here, you go to market, and there's a beggar there whom you've seen for months already. He goes to you and he says, look, can you just help me this one time? I see you every day, and I've never approached you, but today you're my only hope. I promise you, if you help me today, tomorrow I will give you a brand new vehicle. How many of you will jump for joy and think that's an opportunity to get a brand new vehicle tomorrow? Nobody, di ba? Why? Because it's obvious. It's a hoax. Because the promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. Now, the question is here. Another question for us to think about. We know God is a faithful God. But why is it that it's very difficult for us sometimes to stand on His promises? I'm sure you've heard the line, kailangan practical na tayo sa araw na to, sa mga araw na ganito. Yes, you pray. I think you've heard this line. You pray as if everything dependent on God, but you work as if everything depended on you. You've heard that before? There's some truth to it, but it's actually a statement of somebody who doesn't trust God. Now, so I realized this. How do we see God will make a difference? This change happened in our walk with God years ago. We were, my wife and myself, 2 weeks after we got married, we're on our way to Iloilo to pastor a small church that Pastor Manny Moleta and Pastor June Escosar planted. So we got there, Pastor June planted the church, Pastor Manny Moleta stayed there for a year to pastor the church. Then after a year, he was being called to go back here to help in the Tagalog services and things like that. So they asked if we could pastor the church there. I come from Bacolod, which is about an hour away by fast craft from Iloilo, another island. So I speak the dialect, so they said, maybe you're the guy. So we moved there. Try it out for 6 months. That was a 12-year, six-month stint in our life. Okay, so we ended up there in 2 weeks after we got married. And we're in Iloilo. And the first year, the promise of the church or the promise of the leaders in the church was to support us for a year. Wala pang MPD nung panahon namin. So we were going to get supported for a year. After a year, the church you're pastoring should be able to support you. So we went, we pastored the church. After a year, we get a phone call. The time, a little over a year, the time to cut the support has come. And there was nobody checked the books, nobody checked the offerings, nobody checked whether we were, how we were doing financially, but that was the agreement. And I said, can you extend it? And they said, yeah, praise God for their willingness and their generosity. They extended it for 6 months. They cut it in half. Then after 3 months, they'll cut it in another half. And I thank God that they were generous enough to do that. So after another 6 months, support was gone. So we were faced with a situation where the church couldn't support us the way they sent us a memo how much I'm supposed to get every month, and it was already bigger than an offerings monthly. So there's no way it's going to happen. So we started believing God, and we started praying, and God has been faithful. As you can see, I never starved in my whole life, okay? And when you see my children, you know they haven't starved either. So God has been faithful in that sense. But all through these years, facing this situation, you go through a time when you're full of faith, and you go through a time when you're down. You don't know what to do. You go through a time when you're trying to do everything you've got, trying to earn God's favor for a blessing and a breakthrough. Got to a place where we started praying, and I started pointing out to God certain people. I said, God, you blessed them, why not me? Lord, why is he so blessed and not me? Lord, if commitment is the question, I'm more committed. If work for your kingdom is the question, I've probably done more. If you're going through this, you don't know what to do anymore. And you're trying to stand on the promises of God because you believe, you've been told, you agree in your head that God is a faithful God. But every day you're living is a challenge to see whether God is faithful or not. After a while, you do get tired, don't you? So the shift began to happen a few years later down the road. I began to realize that part of the problem, part of my problem, was I knew things about God, but I really didn't know God. And God began to deal with my image of him. And God began to show me who he was. See, isn't it when you meet somebody new, you're trying to find out who they are so you can tell how far you can trust them? Because I realize this, you cannot trust somebody you do not know. So if you have a trust, I realize if I have a trust problem with God, it probably is because I'm missing a picture, a more accurate picture of who God is. See, sometimes we don't like the thought that somebody challenges us. You don't have enough faith. We don't like that thought. But the reality is, our faith has to grow. So when you're confronted with the issue that your faith is not where it's supposed to be, it's not necessarily a negative thing. But what's the reality is it needs to grow. Husband and wife, you're married. You're supposed to trust each other. But there are times when the words of your spouse, you don't readily trust. Why? Because you still don't know each other in that area. But there are also areas in your with your relationship with your spouse, you will gladly trust them, isn't it? Even with friends, it's like that. What needs to happen in that area is you need to grow in that area to understand each other and get to know each other more. It can be the same thing with God. A lack of faith is not necessarily negative unless you choose to remain there. But a lack of faith shows you an area where you need to grow. Why is it easier for us to believe God in certain areas? And in certain areas, it's more difficult. Why? Because our knowledge of God in certain areas is greater than in certain areas. So I began to realize that God, actually, our image of God makes a difference. So I began to look into this. I want to share with you a few thoughts about who God is. Psalm 145, verse 7-9. It says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion in all he has made. See, the psalmist here describes God using a few words. The first word he says, the first word we look at is the word gracious. God is gracious. What does that mean? Gracious means he is disposed to show you favor. What does this mean? His nature is to show you favor. In other words, wala ka pang hinihingi, wala ka pang sinasabi, papunta ka pa lang, God's disposition towards you is favor. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. You just have to show up. Why? Because God's favor is on you. How many of us sometimes have prayed and we feel like our prayers are just didn't even go past the ceiling? That is a lie from the devil. Because God's disposition towards you is to show you favor. My second daughter, Sophia, when she was young, she would sing everything. Okay? Whatever she said, she would try to sing it. She asked permission, she'll sing it. She'll tell you a story, she'll sing it. And she doesn't have a very nice voice. Today, during those times, it was irritating many times. Today, my wife and myself look back to those days with fond memories. Why? Because she's my daughter. I am disposed to show her favor. In fact, my initial reaction and the way I look at her is favor. She doesn't have to ask for it. She doesn't have to work for it. In fact, after disciplining her, it's still favor. Why? Because she's my daughter. God is gracious. It's so easy to say, yes, I believe that. But let me ask you this question. Why is it that when you ask something big from God, you pray longer? Why is it that you ask the biggest things during the 7-day fasting? Because you kind of feel that because I'm fasting, I have more favor with God. Not true. God is disposed to show you favor. In other words, I realize this. It took my experience in life and it took my heartaches in life to change the default of God or the way I see Him. Because God's initial reaction towards any of us here is favor. Second thing, God is compassionate. Compassionate means to have so much mercy and tenderness for someone else that it actually causes pain. Wow, when I saw that, I said, isn't that the story of Jesus? That he loved you so much, it actually caused him pain. It is the deepest desire to show love and goodness. Psalm 78, verse 38 says, yet he was merciful, he forgave their iniquities and did not destroy him. It's amazing, when you make a mistake, what's God's reaction towards you? Forgiveness. In fact, you can read the story of man's rebellion, man's repentance, and God's forgiveness. Read the Bible. Isn't it a story? It's interesting, from one king to the other. A king does great has an amazing relationship with God, turns around the kingdom, God's blessing overflows, the next king rebels against God. And then the kingdom goes down. Later on, the kingdom repents before God. God forgives, God restores, and the blessing begins to flow again until the next one another. That's the story you find in the Bible. Interestingly, a lot of the great men of the Bible that we see, you can call them restored men. Who's your hero in the Bible? David? David was an adulterer and a murderer. Restored. Who else? Abraham, the father of the faith. Was so afraid, he told the king, "That's not my wife, that's my sister." The king almost raped his wife, if not for the Spirit of God show up in the bedroom. Now, how many of you wives will appreciate a husband like that? What do you call Abraham? Restored. Who else? Name a man. Name a great man or woman in the Bible. Restored. In other words, they've fallen, they've been forgiven. God restores. The amazing thing about God, when God restores, it's better than before. Tayo, tao, minsan, pag nag-forgive tayo, gusto natin maramdaman nila kung gaano kasakit yung ginawa nila. Gusto natin maramdaman nila yung seriousness ng pagkakamali nila bago natin i-restore fully. Tapos every so often we'll remind them. But with God, no trace. Better than before. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. God never runs out of patience. Wow. Can you imagine that? He's slow to anger. Now think about this. You've heard me share this. Think about it again. God has no good mood and bad mood. Wow. Can you imagine what life would be like if God had a good mood and a bad mood? Can you imagine what prayer will be like? Your opening prayer, "Lord, kamusta kayo?" Pag sinabi ni Lord, "Okay ako, bakit anak?" Timing, di ba? Lalabas mo na yung listahan mo. Pero pag sinabi ni Lord, "Hindi, galit ako, bakit?" Bukas na tayo, Lord, mag-usap. What if you're in an emergency situation, life and death, you're crying out to God, "God help," and God's in a bad mood. Your next line is, "Lord, see you in heaven." No good mood, no bad mood. You can call him anytime. Now I'm about to say a very controversial statement. You could call to God for help in the midst of your rebellion. And he hears. This is the God we serve. He's not schizophrenic. One day he's good, the next day he's bad. God is compassionate. God is good to all. He's good to the sinner and he's good to the saint. Everybody gets the same chance. You don't see while you're walking down the road, all of a sudden the guy beside you starts choking because he's terrible. God removes oxygen from his place. Hindi mo nakikita yun. Hindi mo nakikita na naghihintay kayo dyan sa traffic light. Yung isa katabi mo binabagyo dahil masama siya, ikaw sunny and bright. Kaya mabait ka. You don't see that. Why? God is good to all. God is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89 to 90. "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures." Wow. There has never been a generation that has not experienced the faithfulness of God. Never will be. The amazing thing I realized this is this. You can look at the scripture again in this manner. Another way to look at the scripture. It's the story of man's unfaithfulness, and it's a story of God's faithfulness. The amazing thing is this. God's response to unfaithful man is what? Faithfulness. Aren't you glad God never said, "Sawa na ako sa inyo. Tama na. Bahala kayo sa buhay niyo." God's response to man's unfaithfulness has always been faithfulness. The Bible says, "Though we are unfaithful, God remains faithful." Wow. In fact, when Jesus came on this earth, man was in no way near to getting reconciled with God. Man was at the height of its rebellion when Jesus came. In fact, it was man who crucified Christ. God never changed his mind. He remains faithful. One of the most amazing things I see in the scripture, that sometimes I still don't have an answer why, but I do know God does it, and I'm just going to trust that he does, is God sustained the nation of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years by a miracle. 40 years every day, from food to clothing to protection, God sustained them by one miracle after the other. And who were the Israelites in the desert? They were a rebellious, stubborn, hard-headed people. That's why they were in the wilderness. That's why they stayed there for 40 years. Yet God sustained them by a miracle. Every day for 40 years. Sometimes I say, Lord, why? I don't have an answer. But I do know he did. And it just shows you how faithful God is. This is the God we serve. We don't serve a religious God. You know the most amazing difference with Christianity and every other religion in the world? Sabi nga nila, every other religion in the world, tawag doon, good advice religion. Bakit? Kasi tinukwento nila sa'yo, anong dapat mo gawin bago ka pumunta kay Lord. It's only in Christianity that the starting point is, pumunta ka na kay Lord. Kasi ang pinag-uusapan dito, hindi ko ano nagawa mo, kundi kung ano nagawa niya. I had to settle it in my heart that I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve the blessing. I don't deserve the grace. There is nothing in my life that can make me deserve the blessing of God more than any of us here. I had to settle that in my heart. When it was finally settled, I started getting the confidence to ask. Because I know the only way it's going to happen is by the grace of God. So you can ask God anything. Hihingi ka lang naman kay Lord, humingi ka na. Kasi minsan, di ba, pag humingi kay Lord, parang ang kapal naman ng mukha mo, laki-laki ng hinihingi mo, dito muna. Bakit? Dahil pag mas maliit, I deserve it. I still don't deserve it. Maliit yan, malaki yan, I don't deserve it. But God says, ask, di hingi na lang ako. Because we serve a gracious, compassionate, a God that's good to all, a faithful God. Another thing, last picture. We can talk more about different pictures, but we'll end with this last picture about God. We know this. Probably for me, the greatest picture of God in the Bible is that he's a father. He's a father. If he's a father, therefore we are children. We are sons and daughters. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 says this, "What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. When we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Okay? "Because you are sons, God sent his spirit to his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." It says here that you're adopted. Now, the word adopted in our society can sometimes be very uneasy, awkward, not very pleasant. When somebody's adopted amongst us, we're tiptoeing, trying to find out if it's okay with them, if they're not awkward or something. But you know, when I realized it, started thinking about the concept of adoption, it's a very, very powerful picture. Why? Because in adoption, you are chosen. You're chosen. If you were naturally born, it just happened. But with adoption, you are chosen. The couple had to hold you and say, yes, we want this child. In adoption, I realized this. Adoption is an answer to someone's longing. Ever seen a couple who adopted someone, years with no children, then finally they have an adopted child? It is an answer to time of prayer for a very long time. And God is saying here, you were adopted. In other words, you were chosen. You were an answer to my prayer and my desires. It's amazing when you realize this is the God we serve. He adopted us. And when did he adopt us? When we were still rebelling against him. You know, it's amazing when you see parents who adopt and their adopted child goes wild a few years later, and the love does not change. It just becomes more determined. I have this story of a friend. All his children are adopted, and he had two already, and they were kind of satisfied where they were, and kind of thinking whether they still want another one. They get a phone call from somebody, said, oh, there's a child here for adoption, from somebody who's also been looking forward to adopting another child. But somehow this couple that called them didn't feel like this was the child for them. So called them and said, there's a child here for adoption. Would you want to consider this child? And they said, maybe not now. I have a friend who's thinking about this. Why don't you call him? So they call this other friend, and the friend comes to see the child, and they walk away saying, this is not the child for us. So he gets the phone call again, says, so-and-so came over. They don't think this is the child. And it just did something in my friend's heart. It just broke him. And when the lady who called him says, are you interested? He says, yes. Talk to his wife. Talk to his wife and then talk to this. Yes, we're getting the child. And the one who called them says, don't you want to see the child first? Sabi niya, tama na. Pinagpapasapasahan na yung bata. Dapat na matigil. Somebody has to take the responsibility for the rejection to stop. Today, that child is growing up in that family. Adoption. God could have let us be rejected by the world, rejected by one another. But God put his foot down. In the midst of this sin, in the midst of this wickedness, in the midst of this filth, somebody has to stop the rejection. Somebody has to take the responsibility so the rejection will stop. And who did that? Jesus on the cross. God is a father. When I realize that this is the God, this is the Father that we have a relationship with, it began to change so much of my image of God. Another few things about the Father. Do you know that inheritance, anybody say we have an inheritance? Do you know that inheritance is only given by fathers? And they're only given to children? You don't earn the inheritance. You don't make the inheritance grow. It's the Father who makes the inheritance grow. Then eventually gives it to you. The Bible says we have an inheritance in Christ. Remember the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son? I call it the story of the prodigal father. You probably heard other people say that. Because when you look at the definition of the word prodigal, which means, I forgot what it exactly means. I don't have it here with me. But it means to be crazily generous. You look at who's the crazily generous person in that story. It's not the son, it's the father. When the son returned, now we don't have time to look at all the other parts of the story, but when the son returned and he finally met the father ignores his spiel. He said, "Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men." Father ignores him and then hugs him. And he tells the servant, "Get the best robe and put it on him." What was that robe? That was the robe of the father. See, this son built a reputation for himself. So all our people around him, relatives, friends, acquaintances, when they look at this son, they have a word attached to it. Ah, ito yung ano. Ah, ito yung ano. What did the father do? The father says, "Get the robe." What does that do? In other words, he's telling his son, people may look at you different, but your real identity is you're my son. When that robe is on you, people can look at your face, but when they see the robe, they know you're my son. When they see the robe, you know that I consider the past done and you're back in my family. This is a response to a son who destroyed the reputation of the father. This is in response to a son who probably broke every conviction this family had. This is in response to a son who wasted the wealth that the father built for years. What was the response? When he realized that the son was broken, the first step to rebuilding the son was to put back his identity. That when the world looks at you, when you look at yourself in the mirror, your identity is you're my son. How many of you saw the movie Blood Diamond? There's a scene there. Part of the story is one of the children of one of the guys gets taken by the rebels, and they train children to become child warriors. They teach them to kill. They teach them how to do bad things. And this father, what he does is he goes with this guy to look for the diamond in the hope that he will come across his son as they go through trying to look for the diamond. And finally, when he sees his son, and his son doesn't know what to do, his son's thinking about whether to kill him or not, he looks at his son and he begins to declare who his son is. "Your name is so-and-so. You like soccer. You like this. Your mother makes this for you." Then he begins to say, "I know they taught you to do bad things, but you are not a bad kid." And he begins to declare who you are. He said, "You are my son." He said, "Now come with me and become my son all over again." This is a picture of the God we serve. Ever made a mistake? His reaction is not to say, "Oh, kakahiya yung ginawa mo. Malis ka na nga." Your solution is his identity. This is the God who made the promises. Somebody made a study. They say, in the Bible, you'll find 5,600 plus promises from God for you. Can you imagine that? 5,600 plus. I wonder how many promises will, if we pull in the promises we know, how many will end up with? I think it would be a miracle if we come up with 1,000 amongst us here. If you find one promise a day in the Bible, it will take you about 16 years to find all the promises of God. Can you imagine that? Now, if you're like me, tao lang, you don't find one promise a day, do you? Probably one promise every 6 months. Sometimes one promise for the year. Because when you find one promise that ministers to you, you hang around there, don't you? Yeah, mabalik-balik ka. Sure, you kailangan may devotion ka. So magbabasa ka na ibang na scripture. After 2 chapters, balik ka na naman doon sa promise. Kasi ito, then you begin to ask the question, how does this apply to you? What does this mean? Saan pa ito connected? Ano yung context nito? 5,600 plus promises. Friends, there is a promise in that Bible for anything you will ever face in life. There is a promise in that Bible for every challenge you will ever face in life. There is a promise in that Bible for anything, for every decision you will ever have to make in life. There is a promise. 5,600 plus. I didn't get to write down the scripture, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you read it in your own time, verse 20. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, how many? 5,600 plus. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. Can you imagine that? God began to challenge me. Jure, if you find a promise in that word and you ask me for it, the answer is yes. Timing na lang. Yun na lang iniintay natin. You find a promise in that Bible, the answer is yes. This helped me. Because we felt like God challenged us. In every way we process things, God challenged us to add a question. You make decisions, financial, direction-wise, future, you make plans. The Lord challenged us to add this question in the process. And what was the question? Simply lang. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? Kasi minsan magde-decision tayo. Titingnan natin lahat except the Word of God. It's interesting, di ba? Since we're talking about, hopefully, about money. When we're casting out demons, we all agree it's the name of Jesus. It cannot be the name of Jure. It won't work, di ba? When you're praying for healing, you know it's the name of Jesus. Huh? Bakit kung pera, wallet mo tinitingnan mo? Hello? Bakit kung pera, the first step you do is look at your bank account. Bakit hindi si Jesus? plus promises in that Bible made by the one who is gracious, who is compassionate, who is good to all, who is faithful all the time, and is your Father. What an amazing thing to realize. I also began to realize that somebody shared, I read this somewhere and it's changed me. He said, every time you find a command in the scripture, it always goes with the promise. Every time you find in the scripture God tells you to do something, it always comes with the promise. Give you an example. If God says you ought to tithe, the promise that goes with it is, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. If God tells you to cast out demons, it comes with a promise that if you use the name of Jesus, they will flee. If you need to pray for someone in healing, it comes with a promise that if you lay hands on the sick, and you, in the name of Jesus, they will recover. Every command you find in the Bible comes with a promise. So what does the Word of God say? I'll end, before we take a break, I'll end with this story. Our eldest today, his name is TJ. He's 22 years old. He's fifth year in UP Diliman. When he was about to go to high school, so this was like 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, he was about to go to high school. We asked him, "Where do you want to go to high school?" So he said, "Different schools." So, but we made him take the entrance test of every possible high school that we would like to consider. So from La Salle to San Baba, mga iba pang high school, UP, Ateneo. And one of the high schools he wanted was Ateneo. And he had another high school. He wanted to go to Philippine Science High School. If not Philippine Science, then Ateneo. So we scheduled him, took the test for Ateneo. And then we, while he was taking the test, my wife and myself walked around. Okay? Kasi hindi ko naman ikot yung Ateneo kasi hindi ako Atenista. Okay? I come from the better school. So... Okay, so anyway, so we were walking around, looking around, my wife and myself. In fact, my son says, "I want to go to Ateneo, Dad." No offense, huh? No offense, Dad. Yeah, sure, you want. That's your life, not mine. So anyway, so we were asking around, and we went to the admissions and asked, "Magkano yung tuition?" Now, this was 8, 9 years ago. "Sir, 90,000 a year." Okay. So we smiled, "Thank you very much." And we walked out, my wife and myself. I said, "Wow." Then we stopped. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? "Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Give, shall be given back unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." So we started asking the question, where can we give that will bring in the harvest for the tuition fee of our children? Because this is the eldest. We've got 5 more on the way. In fact, that is one of our miracles every year, because we're now sending 6 kids to school. It is an amazing miracle that we see every year. So what did we do? We started asking the question, where can we give? Where can we sow? Then God put it in our heart. I was reminded, bago pa lang kami sa, we were just in Manila for a few years. We realized, that's why we're involved with Real Life. Because we're sowing seeds for our children's future. We became more serious about it. We started asking the question, how much should we be involved? When do we give? So that's a yearly conversation for my wife and myself. How much should we give to Real Life as we believe God for the tuition fee of our children? And we started giving. Sure enough, my son made it to Philippine Science High School. Scholarship with allowance for 4 years. God knows how to answer. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back 2:30. Huh? All right.